Basketball fans, it's time to score big with Chumba Casino. It's free to play, no purchase necessary, and packed with hundreds of exciting online social casino games like bingo, slots, and solitaire. New games drop every week, so you'll never run out of action. Plus, claim free daily login bonuses and welcome offers. Dunk into the fun today at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 or older. Terms and conditions apply.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Good morning and welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Clutch Points, and today on the show we are going to be talking about we got to talk about Luka Doncic, Los Angeles Laker. I don't know why I said it that way. Luka Doncic, Los Angeles Laker, Sunday. So obviously, beating the Utah Jazz isn't exactly the kind of thing that you write home about, but still, beating them 132-113, having 100 points through three quarters, as Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves were very clearly kind of figuring out who gets to attack when and which shots they should take and where guys are going to be posted up or spacing out on the floor. That's pretty impressive. Utah never had a chance at defending the Lakers. And the Lakers actually defended rather well, given the fact that they have as explosive an offense as they do. I think one thing to keep an eye on over the course of the year is the better the Lakers' offense plays, I think the better their defense is going to look, as they force teams to take the ball out of the basket and go up against a Lakers defense that is set up. I think the Lakers' approach of such a wing-oriented defense and identity is really going to help them, so long as all of their guys stay healthy. That role-player combination of Rui, Vando, and obviously Dorian Finney-Smith, like, that is one hell of a role player trio at the wing spot. And then on top of that, you have LeBron, who, not a bad wing, and Luka, who is like a top two or three player in the NBA, also on the wing. And then it allows you to have somebody like Austin operating at the quote-unquote point guard or off guard or tertiary guard, even in some sets. And he had great look after great look, or great opportunity after great opportunity, and he really ripped Utah to shreds as well. So overall, the game couldn't have gone much better, as the Lakers clearly were trying to figure some stuff out. And even while they were figuring that out, they beat the ever-living piss out of the Utah Jazz, who, by the way, played everybody. Like, they started Jordan Clarkson, Isaiah Collier, who's been really good lately, by the way, Walker Kessler, Lauri Markkanen, John Collins, Kyle Filipowski played in this one. Keontae George played 32 minutes in this one. Didn't matter. The only guys who got DNP CDs were Cody Williams, Oscar Tshiebwe, and our old dude's fee. Everybody else for Utah played in this one, and it just didn't matter. The Lakers ran them off the court, both in terms of offensive efficiency in the half court, and then whenever they got stops, they got out and scored in transition as well. Just an absolutely overwhelming performance by a team that I think is going to make a real case for itself as a real title contender, no matter how the Mark Williams trade saga turns out. More on that here in a bit. All right, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I went into it in depth for the pod, the longer version of the pod, which is right below this episode on the feed. But yeah, so essentially the Lakers obviously agreed to a contract or agreed to a trade with the Charlotte Hornets, and in running physicals on Mark Williams, found information about his, on his medical history that they feel like Charlotte didn't disclose, and as such rescinded the trade. Normally in that spot, you would negotiate and the Hornets would give up a little bit less to still finalize the deal. But as the physicals and everything were run after the trade deadline, the Lakers either had the choice of continuing with the trade despite their concerns or rescinding it outright. Rob Pelinka rescinded it outright. And now the Charlotte Hornets have approached the league to try to find any grounds upon which the NBA's league office can enforce the trade and overrule the Lakers rescinding it. So the Hornets feel like they disclosed everything. The Lakers feel like they didn't. I thought it was interesting to see that Rob Pelinka said that the Hornets approached the Lakers about trading Mark Williams. The Hornets called the Lakers the other team in their statement and said that the other team approached the Hornets and pursued him heavily. So obviously somebody is lying, and somebody is lying a whole bunch, or maybe both sides are lying and the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Normally, if that's the case, the league allows, the teams to figure this out themselves. In this case, the Lakers have every right to rescind a trade if they feel like the physical and medical information on a player is not where it should be or is not what they believed Charlotte provided them as they finalized the deal. And we'll see where this turns out. But as of right now, the league is investigating it. I would imagine they're going to move pretty quickly here because there are so many moving parts on the other side of the league's decision. So keep an eye out for that over the next 28, 48 hours or so, hopefully. Now, I wrote for Clutch Points about the Lakers' options on the buyout market, whether that be at center, whether that be on the perimeter, all of that stuff. Obviously, I wrote this earlier today before we found out that the trade was going to be, or the league was going to look into whether or not the Lakers legally rescinded the trade. So I'm going to narrate this anyway. I'm probably going to have to write about the situation again tomorrow and update the information there. But as it stands, I wrote like 1,200 words on this stuff, and I don't want to waste it. So here we go. The headline is Lakers center options after rescinded Mark Williams trade. Mark Williams was always a gamble the Los Angeles Lakers were making in order to inject some much-needed talent at the center position to win now, but also grow into a franchise cornerstone down the road. After looking at his medicals and finding issues even beyond the back and foot injuries that have forced him to miss so much time for the Charlotte Hornets, they rescinded the trade, leaving themselves with only Jackson Hayes as their lone healthy center on an NBA contract. Sources close to the team state that they'll do everything in their power to improve at the position, but there just aren't many options on the open market who might get bought out, who might be or who would be a definitive upgrade over the centers already in the organization. Another thing to keep in mind, after trading for Williams, Pelinka was preparing to use some of the extra room he opened under the second apron to address other issues on the roster that obviously remain even after the trade fell through. The Lakers also expect to convert Christian Koloko's two-way deal at some point this season, and there are only so many potential roster spots they can open. So, let's take a look at each approach to see what the Lakers can do to address the glaring hole at the center of their defense. Start with the available free agents. Alex Len and Daniel Theis have both verbally or officially agreed to deals with their next team after being bought out or waived. The Lakers, per sources, would have considered either, but the timing didn't just work out. Needs to be said, Len, according to a report coming out of Indiana that I was able to confirm over the course of the night, Len expressed to the Pacers that he might prefer to stay on the West Coast and is no longer considering the Pacers' offer, so we'll see where that goes. Beyond them, the list isn't pretty. Mo Bamba and Damian Jones recently wore purple and gold, but it doesn't seem like the Lakers are in any real rush to bring them back. Both players frustrated the organization with their lack of motor and walked away as free agents without too many people particularly upset to see them go. Maybe things have changed since their departures, but it doesn't seem likely they're brought back. Robin Lopez is still out there, but like popular former Lakers Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, doesn't appear to have enough left in the tank to be seriously considered. As it stands now, there just isn't anyone currently available who would be immediate, tangible upgrades over the players the Lakers already have. Potential free agents. There are certainly some interesting names who are in the final year of their contract, but there are a variety of factors at play when it comes to buyout situations. Even before we get to potential names, the buyout market is going to be inherently suppressed by how difficult free agent money was to come by last summer. Players are already reticent to take buyouts because it usually means they're seen as veteran minimum players until they prove otherwise. Add to that the restrictions from this new CBA, and fewer veterans are asking to be bought out than in previous years. First off, the Lakers cannot sign any wave player who entered the season making more than $12.8 million because they currently sit above the first apron. There's also no way to dip under the first apron because the trade deadline is passed. This takes Clint Capella off the list of possibilities that may have been bought out. Next, you have to consider any player's current team. If they're competing for the playoffs and might see the Lakers in the postseason, they'd obviously much rather hold on to their potential buyouts for the sake of ensuring the Lakers never get the center they so desperately need. So, Steven Adams, Mason Plumlee, Tristan Thompson, etc., are also probably off the board. One thing the Lakers can do is back-channel agents that their client could potentially start on a playoff team if he becomes available, but that would border on tampering, and we know that doesn't happen. Not in Adam Silver's NBA. Now let's talk about internal options. As mentioned earlier, the Lakers do expect to convert Koloko from a two-way contract to an NBA deal once he runs out of two-way eligible games. That tops out at 50. Because they're so close against the second apron, look for the Lakers to take their time here and use up all 50 of those games. So that's one center option likely taken care of. Lakers doctors have probably spent more time working to get or keep their centers healthy more than any other position so far this year. Anthony Davis dealt with plantar fasciitis the entire season to this point and was on the injured list when he was traded. The Lakers acquired Maxi Kleba in that trade, who is recovering from surgery to fix a broken foot. Christian Wood has yet to play this season because of a lengthy recovery from knee surgery. Kleba will be reevaluated right at the tail end of the season, making it difficult to rely on him. Wood's situation is so murky that very few people have been all that willing to even ballpark when he might be returned. Still, if either returns before the end of the season and is good enough to play spot minutes in case of disaster, the Lakers might be better off addressing other concerns on the roster using what few resources they have at hand. J.J. Redick has also liked what he's seen from the small ball lineups he's utilized this year. So would the Lakers be better off playing their wings a few extra minutes over signing somebody who would inherently be barely NBA caliber? In a playoff series, it feels far more likely Redick will expand his wings' roles. What's the likeliest scenario? Originally, had the Williams trade gone through, The plan was for the Lakers to take their time and perhaps bring in a couple of 10-day contracts so as to get looks at players before committing to them for the rest of the season. Now that they have about as half as much room under the second apron, which sources say the Lakers are treating like a hard cap, they won't have that option. With so few options in free agency, Koloko considered part of their plans, and given how Hayes has played, even in his expanded role, it feels like the Lakers will likely stand pat as far as centers go, unless a true starter they can sign miraculously becomes available. Maybe Len qualifies, and perhaps bring in a player who better fits with Redick's style of play. As things stand, Gabe Vincent is the only guard on the roster who can handle point-of-attack defense or stay with smaller, quicker guards. If the Lakers do waive Cam Reddish to convert Koloko's contract and aren't confident when Wood will play this year, then it might make more sense to waive him to sign a defensive-minded guard, preferably a player who is bigger than Vincent but smaller and quicker than Jared Vanderbilt. No matter how the center position plays out this season, the Lakers are going to pursue a much better center over the summer, as, ironically, not landing the batter backup center Davis had long desired has bitten them squarely in the rear. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown podcast. I could have gone into Dave McMenamin's report and the fact that LeBron, I don't believe, spoke after the game last night, which is a little interesting. But honestly, I'm just going to enjoy it tonight. If there is drama to get to tomorrow, I will get to it tomorrow. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying, have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.